about being led by the Spirit. It's called From Here, or excuse me, it's not called that. It's called This Way, That Way, and Another Way, because, you know, it seems like there's about a million ways to do things. You can get online and Google the answer to your problem and find about 7 million answers for it. Well, how do you know which one's right for you? A lot of people say, well, you know, I like that one. Well, just because you like it doesn't mean it's the best for you. And so there's so much information, and there is a belief that information is going to get to the point where it doubles every day within the next 10 years. And so there's going to be a lot of information, a lot of voices telling you certain things and leading you in certain ways. And so that's why we've decided to start this series about being led by the Spirit, because this is a way that God has designed for us to find the way that works best for us and the way that works best for the kingdom. And in Romans chapter 8, verse number 14, it says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." And we said to you during the first week that we as believers can be led by the Spirit. It's actually better for us to be living in this time than it would be to have been alive when Jesus was here. Jesus even actually said that. He said, it's better for you if I go away. Why? Because, well, we're not limited to the rules of nature. When Jesus was here, people had to go where he was. Only one person could talk to him at a time. And so we're not bound by that. The Bible says when Jesus died that the veil where the presence of God dwelled in the temple was torn in half from the top to the bottom. That means the Spirit was released to go everywhere. And that means that you and I can be led anytime, all the time, in everything that we have. In leading us, he is our navigator and not the pilot. A lot of times people are saying, well, God is my pilot or my co-pilot. He's neither. You're the one steering the ship, but he's the one telling you where to go. And if you're waiting on God to make you do something, well, you're going to be waiting forever. God doesn't make us do anything. Ever. He leads us. He'll encourage us. He'll show us. All right? So we're the pilot. He's the navigator. All right? And he's always showing us the way that we should go. Then the week that I couldn't get back in time from the wedding in Tulsa, Jody did a great job talking about that he wants to lead us in all things, no matter what it is. Amen. The Holy Spirit's power is big enough for the big stuff, all the world's problems, but it's also, his power is also big enough, come on, for our small, little, minuscule things that we need answers for every day. There's no limit to God's power, and he could lead you to simple everyday decisions, something as simple as finding a good parking spot at the mall, just as easy as he could lead us to end world hunger. Amen. All right? And it's just as easy for his power to accomplish everything this world needs, just as easy as it is for, you know, him to tell you how to, you know, when to buy something because it's going to be on sale and you're going to get the best deal. Come on now, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit leading us in all things. All things. In this day and age, it is very important to be led by the Holy Spirit instead of by our emotions, our situations, our circumstances, our political affiliations, the way that we were raised, the way that we've been treated by others. It is extremely important for us to get to a point where we're led by the Spirit instead of all these things. Why? Well, it can save your life. You know, last week when we prayed for Ben Moody, who's on his, you know, going to Iraq for a deployment, I don't know if you noticed what I prayed over him, but I said, Lord, you know, if he starts to go down the street and feels your leading not to go, he'll obey and not go. What are we talking about? It'll save your life. You know, with the events that just happened in Las Vegas last week, you can have whatever opinion you want to have about it, but here's the bottom line. If the Holy Spirit told you not to go to that concert, you wouldn't ever have to worry about something like that. Amen. That's why believers can live in this world and walk, come on, with no fear. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's leading us. That's why he said, well, I'll lead you beside, come on, the still waters. Amen. And through the green pastures. Listen, in this day and age, and you can sit and tell me, well, we just need to do this, and we need to do that, and this would fix it, and this would fix it. The world is going to get worse. It is going to continue to get worse. We can pass every kind of law and legislation. We can try and have all kinds of things, and you can say, well, I guess I know where you stand, Pastor Brent. You don't believe in gun control. I didn't say that. My point that I'm trying to make is this. It doesn't matter what man tries to do to fix things. The world is going to continue to get worse. The Bible tells us that. That's why it's important for us to be led by the Spirit. Amen. If you're led by the Spirit, he's going to lead you away from that kind of stuff. Come on, somebody. It's imperative for us. It's also going to fix, you know, if you're led by your Spirit, he's going to keep you in your relationships. He's not going to, you know, if you learn to be led by the Spirit, you're not going to have, you know, a constant revolving door of friendship. You know those kind of people I'm talking about where they're cutting people out of their life all the time? You know what I'm talking about? Because they get mad and get their feelings hurt. Then they just decide, I'm not talking to you anymore. If you're led by your Spirit, that kind of stuff stops happening. Why? Well, because you learn what to say and when to say it and who's going to receive it and who's not going to receive it. It's imperative. Listen to me. You need to have good relationships in your life and the kind that you can have forever. You need to have those going on in your life. It's going to keep being led by the Spirit will keep you from heartache. It's going to lead you to a place of greater provision. It'll deliver you from years of depression. Come on, somebody. It's imperative for the church to get to a point where we are led by our spirits. And that's why we've been talking about this. You know, there are some people that the Holy Spirit helps a whole lot more than others. There are. If you go and read the Bible, there are some people that just it seem like God has led people in directions that almost seem unfair. If you go in the book of Acts, it's amazing how many times we read this phrase or these kind of phrases. The Spirit said, the Spirit directed this, the Spirit forbade that, the Spirit wouldn't allow, the Spirit directed, the Spirit agreed with, it seemed good to us and the Holy Ghost. Come on, listen, you go read through Acts and it's through there all the time. Somebody would say, well, that was the early church and that was the apostles and that's how, you know, that was those guys that really knew God. It's not really like that today. Well, let me ask you this question. Did God love the early church and the disciples and the apostles more than he loves you? If he did, then he's a liar. Because the Bible says this, that he's no respecter of persons. So if he led Peter and James and John and all those people that were in the upper room to go out and start the church and go all over the world and did so many unbelievable things through that leading, if he did it for them and he doesn't do it for you, then that means God's unjust and unfair. Right. Amen. But last time I checked, he's not. Unless he's a liar. But now here's the thing. If he is a liar, then all that we're standing on right now is going to fly apart at any second. Because all this is built on his word and what came out of his mouth. All right? If God isn't, now I want you to, if you're taking notes today, you need to write this down. If God isn't leading you that much, you should not water down the Bible to match your experience. A lot of people explain away being led by the Spirit because, well, it hasn't happened for them. And they just overlook this. And there are churches out there that have stopped preaching this because, well, it's not relevant to the world we live in right now. People just need to have to, you know, worry about being saved and that's it. Well, no, there's a whole lot more that happens after you get saved. Come on, somebody. You need to learn how to live your life. And if you don't know how to, if you're saved and you know you're going to heaven when you die and you live your whole life with this whole thing between you and God being a mystery, you're not growing and becoming a disciple. Okay? And so a lot of times people are watering this down and quit talking about it because, well, it just doesn't seem relevant and it's not important to people's life. It's very important to people's lives. And you need to stop watering down what the Bible teaches to match your experience. And a lot of times, a lot of it is the height of human arrogance. Well, I know what's best for me. Just keep looking forward and say, amen, Pastor Brent. And nobody will know that we're talking about you. Nobody will know it. Well, I know what's best for me. Your experience in this life is so small and so insignificant to what God's Word has to say and what God knows. But a lot of times we're putting all our money on our experiences. If you believe that your small experience is a true representation of all God's will is concerning your life, you need to get over yourself. Some people say, well, I have an education. I got experience that tells me something else. At what point did we put the knowledge of man above the knowledge of the Bible? Because that's exactly what you're doing. Well, my education tells me this, and my experience in my life tells me this. At what point did that become more knowledgeable than the Bible? That's the wrong way to attack things in this world. This is what's wrong with the world. J.I. Packer, who is an old elderly minister, said this, "Today, on our own turf, we face pagan ignorance about God every bit as deep as that which the early church faced in the Roman Empire." Instead of taking God at His word, we put God in human conditions. We put Him in our own rationale. We think that He's going to still work things out. When He doesn't do things the way we think that He's supposed to do, and the Bible actually tells us that His ways aren't our ways. Come on. His thoughts aren't our thoughts. But when we think it's supposed to work a certain way and we put Him in that box and it doesn't work out that way, then this is what happens. We start saying, well, see, it doesn't work. We've taken to developing our own way of doing things, and by doing that, we're limiting God to work in the bubble that we create for Him. Y'all know that the bubble that you create, that you try and put God in, that He's so much bigger than your bubble ever thought about being? Your education, your experience, and your knowledge has two fatal flaws. Number one, it's human. It's also secular. What's that mean? Worldly and not godly. What does that mean, Pastor Brent? That means it has limits. And it can only get you as far as you think that you know. So that's the first flaw in it. What you learned and what you've experienced is a human experience and human understanding. That means it's only going to take you as far as humans can go. Let me tell you something. Humans will never be able to go very far on their own. From the very beginning, when God had to banish them from the Garden of Eden, look what happened. They suddenly were not able to do anything. God had to kill animals to dress them and show them how to kill animals to eat. They didn't even know how to do that. You know why? We're not very good at taking care of ourselves. Some of you are sitting there going, well, I am. It's because you got good somewhere in your life. God dropped something good in your family's DNA. But if you put all your trust in your human understanding and your human education and your human experiences, you have a big limitation, and you'll never get beyond it. The second fatal flaw is this. Our best way of doing something, okay? At a human being's best way of doing something, these ways of doing things are still well short of the original intention the way God made it. The best way you can do something, the best. This is the best way you can do it. You're still well short of the way God made it. Well short of his original intention. You ever heard the old saying, a square peg in a round hole? You ever seen a picture of it? The square is always a lot smaller than the hole in order to get it to fit in there. All right? At our best, come on now, at our best, we're an oval peg in a round hole. What's that mean? Well, we still don't fit right. And we still have to shave a whole lot off of what we are in order to fit there. Even an oval in a round hole would still have to be shaved down to be a whole lot smaller in order to fit. And that's what we've done. Human beings have put all of our money on the best that we have to offer. And the thing about it is we've whittled God down, and we just keep whittling more, come on, and more of him away. We start explaining away how good he is. We start explaining away how well his will is for our lives. We talk ourselves out of things all the time. And we excuse what the Bible says because, well, we never think ourselves worthy to have that kind of experience. Or we think this, well, this is 2017, Pastor, and that kind of thinking does not work now. We're so far beyond that. We've advanced beyond that. I mean, come on, Pastor, we've walked on the moon. We're so far beyond that. When we do that, we explain away God's way of doing things as not being relevant to where we are right now. And this is rooted in selfishness because we want things done our way right now. I want it done now. I don't want to wait longer for that. Sometimes God's ways are going to make us wait. Sometimes, a lot of times, God's ways are going to go against your ego. I don't like that. I want it my way right now. So even if it's going to make us wait or go against our ego, we don't like it. Just because you do not like the way the Bible says to do things or the way God leads us to do things does not mean that way is irrelevant. It means that we are selfish and want things done the way we like it. Here's what happens. If you've gotten to the point where you have watered down what the Bible teaches in order to fit your experience, you need to change it to this. You should be asking God to elevate your experience, come on, to match what he did for somebody in the Bible. If God led somebody by their spirit in the Bible, come on, you need to be asking him to lead you. Bring me up to the standard of what he did for somebody in the Bible. A lot of times we use the word standard. We use it as a when we talk about living holy. Oh, we need to live to the standard of the Bible morally. Yeah, that's a standard. That's true. We need to live the standard of holiness. That's true. But y'all know the Bible is more than just a standard of holiness and morality. Come on, it's a standard of how you should be living your life. Somebody needs to catch that. What else is there besides morality and holiness? What about provision and healing? Come on, that's a standard. Come on, somebody. We ought to be living to that standard in the Bible. We ought to be living to the standard of peace. Come on, somebody. We ought to be living to the standard of, I got questions, but God's got the answers, and he's telling me what they are. If God did healings in the Bible, he should be doing them today. If God did miraculous signs in the Bible, then he should be doing them today. If God led people by his spirit in the Bible, then he should be doing it today. The Bible says that God doesn't have favorites. It means that people decided and learned and conditioned themselves to look to him more than listening to what their world around them is telling them. And they needed to learn to listen to his leading more. They decided a while ago that he was the best option, and the best resources for solving a problem, that nothing was off limits to his leading. While others do their thing, their own thing all the time, we as the church need to have the same Holy Spirit working within us that worked in the early church. That means that we should be listening to what he has to say. Some people are sitting there right now saying, in my opinion, and with everything I've been taught, Pastor, I cannot agree with that. Because I've been taught, and I've been showed, and I've been this, and I've been that. Let me tell you a story real quick about a professor who is actually a medical doctor who taught at the Oral Roberts University Medical School when it was there. And he was, I mean, at one point in time, ORU was putting out the best doctors in the world. I mean, in the 80s, in the early 90s, the best doctors in the world were coming out of Oral Roberts University. I mean, more than any of the Ivy League schools. I mean, the Oral Roberts University was cutting edge. They had one of the biggest experimental learning places where they could, you know, clinical trials. I mean, a lot of this stuff, ORU was cranking them out. And this guy was a teacher and a doctor, and he was doing surgery. He was a brain doctor. And he's sitting there, and he cuts open this guy's head, and this guy had a tumor that looked like an octopus. It had tentacles, and it was just throughout the entire, I mean, the guy's whole brain was engulfed, was absolutely engulfed with this tumor. There was not a place that he didn't see a tentacle reaching through it. Now, let me tell you something. This guy's been taught and is teaching the best surgeons in the world how to handle something like that. Teaching and been taught how to handle something like that. He said, to hear him tell the story, he looked at this thing, and he said everywhere he tried to move, he would just uncover another place where another tentacle went through another part of this guy's brain. He said what he'd been taught and what he was teaching, sew this guy back up, he's done. There's nothing you can do for him. He said, but before I sewed him back up, I just felt on the inside to lay my scalpels and my instruments down and clear the operating room and let's go pray. Now, he's been taught, sew the guy up, he's done. You could maybe give him a little, you know, chemo to shrink that tumor and give him a little more time, but it's over. He's done. And he said, everything within me just wanted to put his skull cap back on, sew it all back up, and be done with it. He said, but I felt like we should go pray. So he laid down his instruments, cleared all the nurses and everybody out of the room. He said, everybody out in the hallway, we're going to pray for a few minutes. Now, that's the kind of doctor I want. He stopped and he walked outside. He said, Lord, I don't know. I know what my teaching tells me. I know what I'm teaching my students. I know what I think I should be doing. But, Lord, I just feel like you want me to pray for this man. So, Lord, is there something I should be doing? Is there something that I should be trying? Is there something else that I should? And he just began to pray for this man. And he turned around and he walked back in after about 30 minutes of praying in the hallway. And when he walked back into the guy's, to the head of the table where the guy, you know, where they were working, the tumor had dislodged itself and was laying on the side of the bed. Certified, bona fide, verified miracle. Now, what if he just sewn that back up and just gave the guy a bad report? You're going to die. I'm sorry. What if that happened? He's pronouncing the death sentence on this man. But thank God he took the time to be led by his Spirit and go against what he'd been taught and what his own experience had told him. If you're a believer in Jesus, in order to rise to the life that God has for you, Dr. Bill Winston in Chicago says this, your opinion doesn't matter. Your opinion is God's word. Oh, but no, it doesn't matter. If the Bible says it, we need to be doing it. Being led by the Spirit is a way of life, if you'll allow it to be. Some people, when things are serious, they'll go and they'll be led by the Spirit. But when things get better and they allow themselves to take more of their own leading and things start to come, they start to breathe a little bit. The Holy Spirit wants to get you into all truth. The benefits of this kind of living are superior to anything you will ever do. God yearns to lead you to prosperity, peace, healing, love, victory, and anything that you would ever need. His heart is to bless His children, and the number one way He does that is by leading them to where the blessing is. Now, I want you to catch that. A lot of times people are saying, Lord, bless me, and they're waiting on something to just manifest in front of them. Like all of a sudden, a golden parachute with a box on it is going to just, like Amazon is going to just drop it right there in front of you. It's drone delivery to your backyard. A lot of times people are praying, you know, that it's going to just manifest, just magically appear. All right? This place that we live in is where the blessing is. This earth is where the blessing is. The world that we live in still has good in it that God placed here when He created it. If we had the time, we'd go look in Genesis where He goes and creates everything, and the Bible says that He looked and He saw that it was good. Y'all know that that didn't leave, right? That it's not like the good left. We just got displaced. So there's still lots of good here in this earth because God put it here. But in order to find the good, you have to be led by the same Spirit that created it, come on, to help you find it. Come on, somebody. Amen. The Holy Spirit knows where the blessing is and what is the best way for you to get there. He also knows the best way to get it to you. That's how good God is. He wants to lead you that way. He will lead you right into the blessing if you'll learn to walk in the leading of the Spirit. All right? Now today, this one point that I'm going to make today before we get out of here is it's going to sound somewhat academic. Like, I know that already. Okay? This may even be more academic, this point that I'm getting ready to make, than it is inspirational. Some people may hear this and go, but it's better to know what's going on so that we can go deeper into the things of God. So if you already know this, just know your faith's getting strengthened this way. All right? You know, the King James actually says this, the entrance of the your words give light. Yeah. All right? It gives understanding to the simple. All right? So if we don't inspire you so much today with this next point, and the only real point I'm making today, as much as if this is more informational, that's okay. You're getting the word on the inside of you. And I believe it's going to help you. And here is this. If you're going to be led by the Spirit, you have to understand this very important thing. Number one, and this is how we're going to really turn this series. Now we're going to start really putting the meat on the bones. Here it is. The Holy Spirit is a person, yes. Not an it.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Come on.
Yes. A lot of times people will talk about the Holy Spirit and limit Him to just being the power of God. But the power of God and the Holy Spirit are not the same things. The Holy Spirit has the power of God. Come on, somebody. But He's not the power of God. He is not an it. The Holy Spirit is just like Jesus, and His power in Him are not the same thing. Now, turn to Mark chapter 5. We're going to go and look at this real quick. R.A. Torrey, who is another old minister, said this, "It is the highest importance from the standpoint of experience that we know the Holy Spirit as a person." This is huge. This may sound academic and easy, but this is huge. You have to know the Holy Spirit as a person. Mark chapter 5, verse 29. Now, this is the story of the little woman with the issue of blood. She lived her whole life, well, for many years anyway, with some kind of blood problem. She was bleeding. And the Bible says she went to many doctors and didn't get any better. In fact, she got worse. And so she had prayed, and she said, if I could just get to him and touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. And the Bible says she pressed through the crowd, which she wasn't even supposed to be at. She wasn't allowed to come and be where there's a lot of people. And she pressed her way through, and she goes up and she touches the hem of Jesus' garment. All right? And in verse 29, look at this. Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Praise God. That's the power of God. All right? Jesus realized at once, verse 30, that healing power had gone out of him, out from him. Do you see that? Now, if Jesus and God and the power and all of us the same, then this would have said something more like, Jesus realized that part of himself had left and healed this woman. But that's not what it says, does it? It says, Jesus realized at once that healing power, the Amplified says ability and might, or a mighty deed, had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? Now listen to me. If the Holy Spirit is just like Jesus, he's not Jesus, but he's just like him. How many of you know Jesus was not the power of God? If that was the case, again, all you had to do was be in the presence of Jesus and your life was changed simply from occupying the same space as Jesus. But there were a lot of people that Jesus came in contact with that got nothing from him. Amen. This is going to bother some of you, I can already tell. There were people that were in the presence of Jesus that didn't get anything from him.
That's right.
I mean, like, they're sitting there listening to him and watching him pray for the sick, and there were people that walked away still sick.
Yep.
All right? So if he was the power of God, all you had to do was just go where he was, and whether he looked at you or anything, if you just got near him, you was okay. But that happened all the time. The Holy Spirit, listen to me now, is the same. He is the same. He is not the power of God. He is not an it. He is a person. Some people don't understand the person of the Holy Spirit, and you can tell when they reference the Holy Spirit as it. Some people start talking about, what is the Holy Spirit? What is it? You ever heard that? Maybe you're even guilty of it yourself. It is, that's not correct thinking. The Holy Spirit is a person, and if you don't have that kind of thinking and you're thinking about who he is correct, you can't get the right mindset of being led by him. All right, now, if you walked into the room just now, you walked in through those double doors coming to church, and I looked up there, and I said, well, there it is.
Right, exactly.
Or if one of your kids had a basketball game or a baseball game or something, a test that, you know, maybe they're testing for their belt in karate or something, I don't know. And I walked up to them and I said, how did it do? Now, what's going to be worse? I mean, if I'm referencing your children that way or you that way, what would be worse is if you answered me back and said, it did okay. That's just as bad. You know, and you don't hear parents doing that. You know, we're so proud of it. That's not right, is it? This is how we refer to the Holy Spirit all the time. I don't know how many, some of you have heard our story, but when Preston and Peyton are both adopted from birth. We were at the hospital when they were born, but they were adopted from birth. And Preston's adoption was rocky. It was hard. It was the most emotional 6 days of our life where we didn't know up from down. I've never felt more darkness and down in the dumps as I did during those 6 days. And that was, like, he was born on the 19th. My 36th birthday was on the 20th. And so my 36th birthday was the worst birthday ever because we didn't know I mean, we had fallen in love with him, and then all of a sudden we may not get him, and it was awful, emotional. And we were upside down. And people would call us from all over the world. I mean, literally, we were getting calls from all over the world, people praying for us and encouraging us. And we kept saying the baby. We kept calling him the baby. You know, come on, just pray with us that the baby is this. And my cousin called me one day, and he might be watching today. He watches this every now and then. But my cousin called me while we were in the hospital in Illinois, and he said, stop calling him the baby. And I said, why? He goes, he's not the baby. He's your baby. You need to start calling him Preston Bailey, because he knew what we were going to name him. And I mean, it was like somebody dropped a 2-ton weight on me. I was like, holy smokes, you just rocked my world. He said, you need to give him the name you were going to give him and start calling him Preston Bailey. Actually, I'll say it to you like this, because we kind of have a joke in our family, because we have 35 ministers in our family. So imagine what Thanksgiving's like. Everybody sitting around a table trying to out-preach one another. It's awful. It's awful. It's awful. It's like who's going to draw for straws to see who prays? Because, you know, if we got to pray, more than one of us got to pray, it's going to say, who's going to pray the prettiest prayer this year? Oh, Father God, thank you for this bountiful. And it's like, shut up. Just bless the food. It's getting cold. All right? And so we have this little saying that we add the words by God. So it's like Brent by God Bailey, or Aaron's my cousin, Aaron by God Bailey. So it's kind of like this little joke, like, you know, by God, we're going to do it kind of a thing. And so he goes, you need to stop calling him the baby and start calling him Preston by God Bailey. And it was a revolutionary to my thinking, because I realized I was just still looking at him as anybody's baby. And that's what happens when we call the Holy Spirit it. We're looking at it as an object. Preston was a baby, but he wasn't just a baby. He was our baby. Until you have your own, it's not the same. Come on, anybody ever watch somebody else's kids? You can put up with a whole lot of stuff from your own. You get somebody else's and the twitch starts coming, and I don't know. This is important to understand, because the Holy Spirit's not an it. He's a person. And when you understand he's a person and he has your best interest at heart, it makes it a whole lot easier to understand how he's guiding and leading us. He is not the power of God. He is a distributor of the power of God. He's not an it. Come on, he's the third person of the Trinity, and he's just as much God as Jesus and the Father are. That went over like a lead balloon. Let me explain this to you. If you go and you look up the word God in the Old Testament, all right, it's right there in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens. You go look up that word. That is the Hebrew word Elohim. Anybody ever heard that word before? Elohim. It sounds so majestic and holy. Elohim. Let me tell you what Elohim means. Elohim is a uniplural noun. You know what it means? It means God. But what is a uniplural noun? A uniplural noun is something that is plurality in unity. Here's another uniplural noun. Team. Family. Come on. Church. What is it? Well, if it's team, come on, there's one team, but many members. And they're all, you know, for whatever team it's, you know, since we're here in Orlando, if it's the Magic, it's the only team we got here. Yeah, the Orlando City, you know, whatever. I'm for sure not going to say the Gators. That's dang, I'm sure. We got the Knights here. The Louisville, whoever. If it's the Cardinals, we need to give them all the love we can right now. If whatever it is, if there's one team, come on now, there's many members, but every one of those members, come on, is a cardinal. Come on, somebody. Or is a magic. Or is a dolphin. Or a knight. Or a wildcat. Or whoever you like. All right? If they're a family member, come on. Listen, if there's one Toro family, but there's 7,000 of them. But they're all, come on now, they're all Toros. Come on. If somebody's standing there and none of them else are around except one of them and says, where are the Toros at? They raise their hand. We right here.
Amen.
Come on, you do the same thing. That's what God means. The word Elohim is one God. Come on, but there are three members. All right? God is the same. All three are God, but all three have their own person. All right? And it refers to an object, not a person. This chair, come on, is an it. The floor is an it. Your car, even if you name it, is an it. You are not an it. You can listen, and we're about done. Listen, you can listen or have a relationship and have fellowship with a person. You can't with an it. Come on now, you go outside and your car is not starting. You can talk to it all day long. That car isn't going to answer you. You can pet on it. Come on, baby. Come on, come on, come on. And you really think your kind words are making a difference there? They're not making no difference. Why? It's an it. Now listen to me. Your spouse, come on. You may say, I need you to do something, and it might just be the same way. And you can say to him, come on, baby, I need you to, and you'll get, come on, a response. Some of you men are playing that backwards the other way, going, hey. The Holy Spirit is not an it. Somebody needs to get happy about this. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He is God. And He is with you. Come on, and He's in you. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, He comes on you to empower you to be everything He's called you to be. John chapter 14, verse number 16. And I will pray the Father, and He, the Father, talking about the Father here, but look how many times He refers to the Holy Spirit as He, shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. Skip down to verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, look at that next word, He, come on, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you.
Amen.
Come on, can you know Him?
Yeah.
Can you have fellowship with Him?
Yeah.
Can you have a relationship with Him?
Yeah.
What can I do with the Holy Spirit? If the Holy Spirit was the second comforter because Jesus was the first comforter, then you have to ask yourself this question. What kind of relationship did Jesus have with the disciples? Could they ask Him things? Could they hang out with Jesus? Could they call on Him? Could they eat with Him? Could they live with Him? Could they learn from Him? Catch this, y'all. If the disciples had that relationship with Jesus, then we can have the same relationship now. But if He's always looked at as an it, that's a foreign concept to us. That's why people don't bring Him in on a lot of the decisions they're trying to make. That's why they don't consult Him first. That's why when things are going bad, they don't stop and ask, Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to do? They immediately freak out and go into emotion mode because the Holy Spirit isn't it. It's just like somewhere out there. If the disciples can do that, then we can do it as well.
Yes.
All right? That's what we're trying to get you to think. That's what this series is all about. To have a relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit the same way Jesus had with the disciples. And the first step to being led by him is to realize that he's a person. And we have to ask and consult him and receive guidance and leading from him. Now, some of you may be sitting there going, well, how can a spiritual being have a relationship with a natural human? Well, you'll want to be here next week when we continue along these lines. Heads bowed, eyes closed.